Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they had chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord. Ye tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her knees, and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their work and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, of them unto the and Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of the nations upon horses pardon, and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed in your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the glories of your word, for the book of Isaiah, that the word that you gave to him, that we've seen so much of it, has already come past in our experience, our history. And we look forward to the great events that are still to come to pass and know that they're just as sure because you've spoken them and what you speak comes to be. Father, we just look forward to the day of your redemption. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 66. Okay, of course, Isaiah's been prophesying that God's coming again. And he's coming for two things. And you hear both of them intermixed. He's coming to judge all his enemies, and he's coming to redeem all those that belong to him. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Okay? Well, God is the creator of heaven and earth, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? So God is the creator of, he's even beyond the entire universe. You know, we can't even imagine the extent of this universe. We just put up the James Webb Space Telescope and we can see further than we've ever seen before. We still can't see it all. We look at little bitty tiny slices at a time. We see further, but there's still more. As far as look, there's more. We can't even fathom it. But guess what? God is greater than even the entire universe. Carl Sagan and his billions and billions worship the cosmos, the universe, but that's not big enough. You need more than just the physical universe. As big as it is, as impressive as it is, God is beyond that, because before Genesis 1, in the beginning, what? God. So before this cosmos, this universe, even existed, there was God. He is above, beyond, before even the universe. So then he says, the whole heavens are my throne. The earth is my footstool. Okay? Well, Carl Sagan loved to emphasize the fact that we're just that people are totally insignificant because we live on an insignificant planet and an insignificant solar system and an insignificant galaxy. Well, if you just look at sheer numbers, you got it. Because billions and billions, that's about as well as it can be said. Our entire Milky Way galaxy that has billions of stars in it, it's just one galaxy among billions upon billions in the universe. So if you look at that, yeah, we're just a tiny speck among untold billions. But if you realize that this is the place that God created specifically to put humanity, and specifically to come into this world in physical form as Jesus Christ, and to die on the cross to save us from our sins and raise again, then that makes us one among billions. If somebody's really special, you say they're one in a million, right? The old Oak Ridge Boys songs, one in a million, what do you mean? I heard about a guy one time that was having a hard time finding a bride, and so he decided he was going to increase his odds because he said, well, one in a million, that ought to do it. You know, there ought to be, you know, one special girl, one in a million. So he figured out his odds. You know, there's however many billion people in the world and this and that. And so he was going to go around and make sure he met, you know, more and more people and this and that. That way he could find his one in a million. Because if there's one in a million, then there's, you know, thousands of brides for him, so he had his plan all worked out. But if you're one in a billion, you're something special. So yes, this planet is something very special because it's the only one where Jesus Christ came. We're the center of God's perfect will, what he created, this magnificent creation. God is sure extravagant, isn't he? We talk about going overboard. I mean, you read Genesis 1 and he said, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then he goes and he forms it and does all this. And he puts the sun, moon, and the stars for lights and for seasons. Did we really need this many? He could have accomplished it with a few less, right? I think we could have gotten by with us, since we can't even see. We haven't even seen but a fraction of what's out there. But God is generous. God's not stingy. He's the same way with his salvation. Jesus Christ came and shed his blood on that cross. For who? For the sins of the whole world. Now that's why I say, one, that there's no alien life out there. No intelligent anyway. I don't think there's any kind of life, but there's nothing to tell. Why? Because Jesus Christ came and died once. Because if there's another species, if God created life on other planets, who's going to die for them? Jesus Christ is the only one who can. And Jesus Christ only died once. And he died here on this planet. So all of these billions of dollars you're spending on the search for extraterrestrial life is wasted. Because you're not going to find it. It's here. But God is extravagant. See, I can save our government a lot of money. It's here, but he shed his blood not just for a few special people. He shed his blood for the whole world. Does that mean everybody gets saved? No. Does that mean he paid the price for the sins of the whole world? Yes. But you still have to choose him so that his blood can be applied to you. He's not going to force it on anybody. If you don't accept him, then you don't get him. It's up to you. So this earth is just his footstool. But he says, where is the house that you build unto me? And where's the place of my rest? In other words, men sure like to come up with idols and their own religions and all this kind of stuff. But what kind of house can you build for the creator of the universe to dwell in? Now, Solomon and David went all out. They built a magnificent temple covered in gold and great magnificent stones. You think you can really contain God in that? Of course not. God's first dwelling place that he had them build was a tent, because he dwells where he chooses to dwell, and he just manifests himself here and there. There's nothing. That's what he's saying here. It's like, heaven's my throne, earth is my footstool. What kind of house could you build for me? So anything we come up with, man's ideas, are not even close to the scope big enough to reach God. For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look. He's saying, I'm not looking for the United Nations to bring world peace and usher in. I'm not looking to the church to be able to get the seven pillars or whatever, this and that. We're supposed to take government and education and all this and get the things every right and ready for Jesus Christ to come. I tell you what, if that's the way it's got to be, the rate we're going now, he's never coming. We're not making good progress on turning this into the kingdom of God here on earth. But that's not what it's waiting on. It's waiting on God. He's going to bring it. But he says, I don't want a magnificent temple. What I'm looking for is a man that is poor and of a contrite spirit. How do you get part of God's kingdom? It's not because you've achieved it, because you've done something great. You've become President of the United States, Secretary General of the United Nations. You've become a multi-billionaire. You've accomplished all these wonderful things. You even did like Mother Teresa, and you've had all these ministries, or Albert Schweitzer, and you've helped all these people. What's God looking for? Somebody who'd be humble and contrite, repentant, and trembleth at my words. The way you get to God is you open up His Word and you look at it, and it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. Then you read Jesus' words, and He says, if you hate your brother, you've committed murder. If you look upon a woman with lust, you've committed adultery already in your heart. And you think, I'm in trouble. You read His Word, it says the wages of sin is death. You look at His Word and you tremble. But then you look at what we call the gospel. Good news, Jesus Christ was crucified and was according to the Scriptures. And He was buried according to the Scriptures. And He was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures. So our sins can be forgiven. Then that's the kind of person God's going to receive. He that killeth an ox is if he slew a man. Okay? These are human sacrifices. An ox would be a pretty big sacrifice, isn't it? That'd be like you giving up your car. Okay, that was a big one. That wasn't just a little lamb or a goat. That was a big one. An ox is what you plow with and work with, and that was a big sacrifice. And he said, that's as unacceptable to God if it's done just as the act itself and not out of faith in God as if you killed a man. Okay? Well, some religions do that. You know, we always hear about the Aztecs and all that they did human sacrifice. It's happened a lot of places. That is totally unacceptable to God. And he that sacrifices a lamb, okay? God commands lots of lamb sacrifices as if he cut off a dog's neck. Can you imagine priests going in there and sacrificing a dog on the altar in Jerusalem? That would be totally unacceptable. An unclean animal. He that offereth an oblation, an offering, a meal offering, as if he offered swine's blood. That's what they did when they'd conquered Jerusalem and want to mock them. And they offered pigs on the altar just to defile it. He that burneth incense is he that blesses an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. There's only one true religion. There's only one Christianity. And you can't just make up your own rules and call yourself a Christian. Right? That's already taken. Now, God gives us freedom. You can practice a lot of religions, and believe me, they do in this country, and recognize a lot of religions and this and that, but you can't just go make up stuff and then say, well, this is Christianity, because guess what? That's already taken. So if you want to make up your own religion, you know, I need to call it Mikeyanity or something like that, you know. Christianity's already taken. So Mikeyanity could be any way I wanted it to be. But Christianity is the way Christ established it, the way God's Word has established it. And any other way, God says, you may look good, you're sacrificing a lamb. To me, it's like you sacrificed a dog. Totally unacceptable. All our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. We're not going to get to God by our own righteousness. It's just dishonoring to Him to even try. And when you look at the religions of the world, they nearly always are a works religion. You know, the Pope gives time off in purgatory if you climb up certain steps and in the Vatican on your knees. You know, the bloodier your knees get, the more time off you get in purgatory. Sorry. That's sacrificing a dog. God doesn't care if you bloody your knees crawling up the Pope's steps. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Now that's pretty serious. if you've read Chronicles of Narnia, like what is it, the Dawn Treader, they sail into this area, and it's called like the Island of Dreams or something like that. And that sounds nice. You know, all of a sudden, oh, fine. Oh, good, Island of Dreams, you know. That sounds like a cruise line or something. You know, that sounds really nice. And then they get in there, and it's all spooky and scary, and somebody says, wait a minute, not all dreams are good. What about nightmares? It's the place where your dreams come true. But we all have nightmares sometimes, don't we? And aren't we happy they don't come true? I mean, the best thing about a nightmare is when you wake up. It's like, oh, good. That's always the point where I like when I can realize that this is just a dream and I can just wake myself up. It's like, oh, good, I'm out of this. When I was a kid, it was always a bear chasing me for some reason. It even chased me on a merry-go-round one time. I'm not sure. No, I'm talking about a Ferris wheel. So I was trying to get away from a bear. He was chasing me. He got in the car behind me. You know, but I was happy that was a dream. But he says, for his enemies, those that reject God, he said, I'm going to bring their worst fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. Has God called? He certainly has. He's given us his word. This is the most published book in all the world. It's out there. It's available. There's preaching available. God is there. He declared, the heavens declare his glory. All you got to do is wait for it to get dark. And we should recognize. But guess what? He calls out, those stars call out saying, look, God created this universe. You need to get to know him. And instead, we look up and say, billions and billions. We're totally insignificant. You know. When I spake, they did not hear. We've closed our ears. They did evil before mine eyes and chose that which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. So now he's talking again. He's talking to both ones, the people that reject him and the people that are listening. Now he's saying, ye that tremble at my word. We should tremble at God's word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you off for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Do you ever get persecution from religious people? Now, I know in our world today we get lots of persecution. You know, that law professor was picking on the senator because he was, you know, transphobic because he didn't believe men could have babies and this and that. But what about the church? We get people that are proclaiming themselves to be Christians, but they criticize the church because we're not accepting of these alternative lifestyles, sinful lifestyles. We're not accepting what the world's view on all this stuff, and we get picked on by the church. Well, you're just out of touch. You're out of step. You're not accepting this. You're not, you know, you're not believing all the scientific facts about billions of years and all this. So you're just out of touch. God said, look, they persecuted you, man. Well, you know, Paul persecuted people because they followed Jesus for a time there. He says, no, you who truly fear me, who tremble at my word, you're going to receive joy when I come, and they are going to be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. When he comes, joy to those that fear him, shame to those who don't. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Now, ladies, does it work that way? Do you have a baby before you have the birth pangs? Doesn't work that way, does it? You got to go through the pain before you get the reward. It just doesn't happen. I mean, I'm sure you'd like it to, but it doesn't. First the pain, then the rejoicing. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? You know, it'd be great if you could go plant your crop and harvest it the next day. Doesn't work that way. You know, I say, when's the best time to plant a fruit tree? 5 years ago. Okay? You can't just instantly say, man, it'd sure be nice. I mean, I've got a spot that really could use the shade. I'd love to have a nice big tall tree right there. Well, I should have planted it 13 years ago. Then I'd have it. plant it now and all you got is this little skinny sprout. You know, it's going to take a while. Take some time. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in a day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. He's talking about in particular Israel, Jerusalem, the Jews. Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Okay. They're about to go through a bunch of suffering. And we're going to go through, there's tribulation and lots of suffering to come in this world. But God said, don't worry. I'm not going to just let the suffering come and then that it ends. That'd be like going through all the birth pangs and not having the baby. He said, I'm not going to let that happen. You got to go through the suffering first, but then the reward. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all that mourn for her. We should all pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Told us that. That's where everything's going to come to a head. That's where the culmination is. That's the center of God's work in this earth is going to be Jerusalem. So it says, the time's going to come that we're going to get to rejoice with what goes on in Jerusalem. Right now, it's a tricky spot. That ye may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Okay? Well, nothing can satisfy a grumpy baby better than its mother. Okay? It's just the way it is. That's what they want. Nothing else will do. You know? And that's what Jerusalem's going to be like. It's going to be a place that blessings are going to flow out. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. And when ye see this, your heart shall rejoice, your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. Like I said, both are coming. What's coming, judgment or salvation? Yes, both of them. Just get on the right side. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. Okay? If he's coming in fiery chariots, you don't want to be his enemy. You want to be Elijah, where they carried him to heaven. But if you're his enemy, they'll destroy you. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. And the slain of the Lord shall be many. What's it say in Revelation? That all the nations, the armies of the nations of the world shall gather against Jerusalem, the plains of Megiddo. It's Armageddon. And what's going to happen? Jesus Christ is going to come and destroy them all with the sword of his mouth. The slain shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination in the mouth, shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. Notice he says those that sanctify themselves. What's it say? He that exalts himself shall be humbled, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. You want to be exalted? Let God do it. Humble yourself before God, and he will exalt you. For I know their works and their thoughts. Oh, that's scary. I mean, with elections, I say, look at what they do, not what they say. Which is you can't always do that. It's hard to find out information on a lot of people. It's nice, you know, when there's an incumbent, at least you've got a record to look at. Or if they've been in some office, look at their record. Because what they do is much more indicative of what they'll do in the future than what they say. What they say is just whatever they think will get them votes. Yeah. Former President Obama was for same-sex marriage. Then he was running for president. He was against same-sex marriage. Then when he was running for re-election, he was for same-sex marriage. You know, Do you think his real opinions ever changed? No, of course not. But what he said changed in order to seek votes. Okay. So look at what he does will tell you a lot more than that. But even better than that, if you know what somebody thinks, even what they do might not really indicate their character because people can put on. But God knows everything you think. Well, you can't hide from that one, can you? Every thought in your head. Aren't we glad that our thoughts aren't strolling across our forehead? You know, somebody walks up, you're like, ooh, what an ugly dress. You know what I mean? Would you go, boy, you wouldn't have any friends, would you? You have to work really hard at keeping your thoughts pure. But sometimes we got to work really hard at just keeping them from falling out our mouth. You know? Sometimes they do that. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. God's going to bring everybody to see his glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, Lud, and draw the bow to Tubal and Javan, to the sides afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. They shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. When Jesus Christ returns, you're not going to miss it. Everybody is going to see him come in full glory and power. For some, it's going to be too late to change, but they're going to see it. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord. The Jews shall be returned to Israel from all over the world. They're all over the world, aren't they? They've got their own country now, but Jews are, there's a lot more Jews outside of Israel than in Israel. They're going to all come back. They're going to bring them back to Israel. On horses and chariots and litters, on mules, on swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel unto the house of the Lord. So they're going to bring them all back and return them to the promised land. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. Wow, so he's going to turn the nation of Israel to be a whole nation of priests. Now, that's not the way he established it initially, right? Because there were 12 tribes. And the priests were all the sons of Levi were the special tribe that took care of the tabernacle, served in it, carried it, moved it, protected it, all those things as a ministry to the other 11 tribes of Israel. But now that Jerusalem is going to be the center of the whole world, he's going to take the entire nation of the Jews and make them to the rest of the world like Levites and priests. They're going to become not like, don't think Catholic priest. Okay? That's an abomination. Think Jewish priest who brings the offerings before God. That's what he does. He's nothing special. You don't need him as an intermediary or this and that. He just serves God and helps you serve God. And so he says, and he's going to take that. So he's going to bring all the nations to come and serve him. Aren't we grateful? I mean, he's going to judge his enemies, but then we, as non-Jews, are going to get to serve Jesus Christ. But guess where he's going to rule from? Jerusalem. So I'd be happy to have a Jewish guy, Jerusalem, because I don't know my way around. But we'll have them to help us. And if they're going to reestablish the sacrifice and this and that, I need a priest. I can't keep all that stuff in Leviticus straight, what you're supposed to do when and this and that. But it's okay. We've got Jesus Christ as the once and for all sacrifice. That's what matters. And so he said, these Jewish people, they're going to be special. Don't ignore them. They're going to be special. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Look forward to it. But we all get to come and serve Jesus Christ. For as the new heavens and the new earth, Revelation again. I mean, Isaiah's just getting this right out of, he must have just read Revelation, right? He's getting it all out of there. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord. What did Jesus Christ say? He said, even though heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. But then he's going to create the new heavens and the new earth, and they're not going to pass away. They're going to remain forever. So shall your seed and your name remain. So we think you're doing pretty well if we're as permanent as the earth, as long as the earth here. Well, that's okay, but that's not permanent. But the new heavens and the new earth are. That'll be totally and completely permanent. So he's promised that the seed will remain forever. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Everyone is going to come and worship before Jesus Christ. We all worship at the foot of the cross, and to the foot of our living Savior. Everyone is going to come. So, might as well line up now, get the start of the line. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring to all flesh. God does everything possible to convince us to serve Him and get saved. I mean, you think the picture of the donkey, the carrot, and the stick. You got the guy riding the donkey, and he's got a carrot on a string, on a stick like this, he can hold in front of the donkey's nose to keep him moving forward, and he's got a stick in the other hand to whack him on the backside to keep him moving. Sometimes donkeys take a lot of encouragement. Well, we're a lot like donkeys, and we take a lot of it. God gives us both. He says, you can come and serve me forever in the new heavens and the new earth. But also, we're going to see what happened to everybody that rejected Jesus Christ. The dead are going to be innumerable, and says, the worm shall not die. Think of rotting carcasses. Neither shall the fire be quenched. The fires of hell never go out. And they shall be abhorring unto all flesh. We need to look for the glory of God. And that should be enough. But if that's not enough, you need to look at the horrors of hell. Look at that. And if that's what it takes to get you into heaven, it's worth it. Because he gives us both, the carrot and the stick.